Just like to say good morning to each and every one. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. As a selection that we just sang this morning, want to be wonderful there. And it's a beautiful thing to be a Christian. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian is the best is yet to come. And that's what's so beautiful about being a Christian. The Bible says, want to be wonderful there, having no pain to bear. So we thank God this morning for his blessing this morning. Have a lesson prepared for us this morning as we look at the Word of God this morning coming from the book of Revelation. But I just want to emphasize this morning that everything that we know about God has been revealed to us through God's Word. We have not discovered anything about God, but it has been revealed to us through His Word. And Revelation talks about some of the blessings this morning that has been revealed unto us. And that's what I'd just like to share. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, used for the scripture reading this morning, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show us his servants, things which must shortly to come. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto the servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And this is our first blessing that we will find this morning in the book of Revelation. He said, blessed is he that readeth and he that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We'll let those scriptures this morning serve as our scripture reading. But before we go any further into this lesson, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again and petition the throne of God. The Bible teaches us that in the old times, in the old book, God revealed to us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, in verse 5 and 6. It was revealed to the Christians in those days that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Say, add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. That's what was revealed to the first century Christians. It's revealed to us in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 3. Say, what if some do not believe the faith of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The Bible says, God forbid. Say, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. You see, this is the same God of the Old Testament that's over the New Testament. And this is what has been revealed to us in His words. And I want us just to look at the lesson this morning. I want to read these passages of scripture again to reiterate what the book of Revelation is speaking to us about this morning. John the Revelator was exiled on the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel of Christ. And this was a practice that people practiced back in those days. If people they were dealing with would not adhere to their rules and their regulations, There was a practice that some were killed and some were sent off into exile. Now, John the Revelator was one of the original disciples of Jesus that wasn't killed, but he was sent off into exile for preaching the gospel. And this is what the Bible teaches us in these passages of Scripture, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, God gave Jesus this revelation. As we study the book of Revelation, we'll find out that it is a book about Jesus. And it says that God gave Jesus this revelation and to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And the Bible says, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So God gave the revelation to Jesus. Jesus gave the revelation to his angels, the servants, to give to John. And this is the revelation. The Bible says that in verse 2 said, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now notice what John says. He says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John says that the one that readeth the word of God is blessed. And these words of God are to be read aloud to all God's people so they could hear. And those of us that hear the word of God are blessed if we keep those words and obey those words. This is what has been revealed to us through God's word. Now, do we believe it? God has said it. He said, if we read the word of God, if we hear it, those that hear it, that believe it, keep it, obey it, are blessed. And we have to believe that. God has said it. But I just want to share another passage of Scripture with us, and we'll come back to this book of Revelation because this is where we'll study from. But I want us to look at the book of St. Luke, and I want us just to show us something here in this book, what this woman said to Jesus. In the book of St. Luke, I believe 11 and verse 27, Jesus was teaching, and a woman heard Jesus teaching. And this woman came close to worshiping Jesus' mother than any other scripture that we will read about in the Bible. Listen to what she had to say when she heard Jesus teaching in the book of St. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. The Bible says, and it came to pass as he spake these things, speaking of Jesus, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. This is what the woman said to Jesus. Book of St. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. Another translation gives it like this. It says that blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nourished you. One translation gives it like that. But I want us to notice what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 28, he says, but he said, yea, Rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Those are ones that are truly blessed. The one that hear God's word and keep God's word. We'll go back to the book of Revelation and look at these passages of scripture here concerning the blessings that are found in this book. In the book of Revelation, we study this book. It's a practical book with moral living in it. And it's not a book that we should just study just to see what the future and what the end will be. This is a book that also helps us to walk closer to Jesus each day that we live. This is what this book is all about. I want us to look at the book of Revelation, look at another blessing that we find in this book, in the book of Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And we will look at verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Notice what John says. John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me," he said, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." I want us to look at this passage of Scripture where John said, "Blessed are those that die in the Lord." I want us to look at that prepositional phrase there, in the Lord, in Christ. Not all the dead are blessed. It's those that die in the Lord. Those are the ones that are blessed. And the Bible says their works do follow them. Our works will follow us into eternity. And they will speak for us, our works on this earth. But that prepositional word that we look at, in Christ, those that die in Christ, in the Lord, those are the ones that are blessed. And that's what we need to understand and to remember this morning, is that when we die in the Lord, we are blessed. And if we do not die in the Lord, we're going to be miserable. And that's life to come. The Bible speaks of it. But I just wanted to know that the blessing this morning, this is another blessing that we find in the book of Revelation, those that die in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that where this blessing started. I want us to look at the book of Romans chapter 6, and we'll see where this blessing started with us. He said, "Blessed are those that die in the Lord." That's what John teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 6. And I want us to start around verse 3. Paul said, this is where our blessing starts. Those that die in the Lord. This is where they start. He said they start here. He said, "Know ye not," in verse 3, "that so many of us were baptized into Christ, to Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." He's talking about the watery grave of baptism. Notice what he says in verse 4. He says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." He says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You see, this is where this life starts. This is where our blessing starts, is in the watery grave of baptism. Notice what Paul says at verse 5. He says that, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also in the likeness of his resurrection." He said, "Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." You see, this is a barrier that the Apostle Paul is speaking of. It's when we are buried in the watery grave of baptism, then we service our connection with sin. Just like the natural life, when we die, we are servant from that natural life. We are servant from it. And the Apostle Paul says that it's the same way when we are buried with Christ. His verse 7 says, "For he that is dead is free from sin." He said, "But now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more, death have no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." He says in verse 11, says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves." And someone said that, you know, someone really must be from the country that uses these kind of words, a reckon. But the Bible tells us that reckon, God also tells us in the "likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." He said, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God." And verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, but ye are not under the law, but under grace." This is where this blessing starts, brothers and sisters and friends, is in the watery grave of baptism. And that's why we all have to understand baptism. We have to know why we were baptized. We have to understand that. We don't have to know a whole lot about the Bible coming to Christ, but we have to know that our sins have been forgiven. That we have to know. You have to know why you're being baptized. Because in the watery grave of baptism is where we connect with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:27, "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on him." That's where we put him on, is in that watery grave of baptism. You have a lot of these religious institutions out here. They're baptizing people, sure. But they don't know why they're being baptized. They're not teaching that you have your sins washed away. And you have to be baptized into Christ. Not just being baptized. I hear some Christians say that, well, you know, this person was baptized. And they think that they can come to the Church of Christ and become a member because they were baptized out in the world with some institution. That baptism is not valid. The Bible only speaks of one baptism. Only one. Regardless how many times that you have been baptized, there's only one baptism that puts us in Christ. The Bible only speaks of one. I was talking to a person about the gospel some time ago, and he was telling me that he was going around looking for a church, and I was talking to him about the Church of Christ. And I was telling him that he had to be baptized into the Church of Christ. Not just get baptized. You have to be baptized into the Church of Christ. He said, "I've been baptized 6 times. He said, "Everywhere I go, someone telling me I need to be baptized. I was baptized 6 times. I said, "Well, the Bible only speaks of one." And he never, that I know of, obeyed the gospel. He continued to practice Judaism. And that's what he was practicing when I met him, Judaism. Talking about the rabbi, the father. But there's only one baptism, and Paul says that this is where our blessing starts from, He says, starts in that watery grave of baptism in the book of Romans. We'll go back to the book of Revelation, and I want to look at another passage of Scripture. We find another blessing here in the book of Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Jesus says that he's, behold, I come as a thief. You know, a thief, when he comes, in the book of Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, we're not expecting a thief when he comes. If we're expecting, we're prepared for a thief. But usually a thief comes when you are least expected for that thief to come. You're not prepared. You're not expecting him to come. But Jesus says, I come as a thief. But that's what he says. He said, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Jesus says that we have to have some garments. If we want this blessing, our garments. Because this is a wedding, we all know that. It's when we say that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when we make that confession, it's just like we're giving our testimony in marriage. Because that's what it is. We are being married to Christ when we say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I want to be baptized for the remission of my sins. We are entering into a marriage. And Jesus said, we can't enter into this marriage without a garment. We got to have our wedding garments on. And there can't be any stains on that garment. That garment got to be spotless if we want to make it in. We got to have a garment on if we want to be make it in. We won't make it in this marriage. But he said, blessed. He said, I come as a thief. He said, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame, in this book of Revelation. You see, we have to stand strong, brothers and sisters and friends. We have to stand strong because John encourages us that the time is at hand. We are living in our last days. And the last day started on the day of Pentecost. That's when it started. And we're living in those times, and we don't know when our time will come. We don't know that. Today could be our last day on earth. We don't know that. But whatever state that we are in right now is where we will go. Jesus says, I come quickly. And we'll see that in these passages of scriptures. If we're on the left hand of God, and we don't want to be on the left hand of God, we don't want to be on his left hand, because that's where the wrath is in the left hand of God. We all want to be on his right side, the right hand of God. And don't you know that when Jesus comes, it don't have to be in this last day, just when death comes for us. You see, we may not live to see this world end, but we need to be prepared. When Jesus comes, the Bible says that if we are on the left, he comes quickly. You're not, if you're wrong, you're not going to have time to get right. There's not a last minute, a second decision that we can make when he comes. He said he comes quickly. He comes as a thief. We're not expecting it. That's why we are encouraged. That's why John encouraged each and every one of us. The time is at hand. This is encouragement to us. We are to live in such a way that if I die today, that I'll know that I'll be blessed because I've died in Christ on the right-hand side. That's how we're to live each day that we live. We have to stand firm against the things that are going on in this world. We as Christians, our moral standards. I want to look at another blessing this morning in the book of Revelation. We find this in the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. In verse 9. Notice what John teaches. John says that in the book of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9, he said, "He said unto me, he said, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lord. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Those that are called into the marriage supper of the Lord." As I said earlier, this is a marriage. And when we are called into this marriage, we are blessed because we have our garment in this book of Revelation. We have our wedding garments. And we see this in the book, in this same book here, in verse 7 and 8, where the Bible speaks of this marriage. He says, "Let us," in verse 7, "be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife have made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." That's the wedding garment. This is the wedding garment that we wear, is the righteousness of God, clean and white. That fine linen, the Bible says, is the righteousness of the saints. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, I want to look at verse 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. We look at another blessing. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on which the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. A lot of people have made a big deal out of the 1,000 years, millennium. Speaks of a long time when you speak of numbers. But the Bible says, blessed is that person that's being resurrected by Jesus Christ the second time unto righteousness. You see, is that when we die in the Lord, as the Apostle Paul teaches us, we will one day rise again. We're just not like the dog Rover. When we're dead, we're dead. You know, a lot of people think that, well, you know, when I die, I'm going to sleep until the judgment. No. I don't know where that came from. We want to know when we leave here where we're going. We're going to know that. Remember the story of the rich man? When he died, the Bible says he lifted his eyes up in hell. He knew. He had the same opportunity as we have this morning. Is that when we hear God's word, whether we obey it or refuse it, he had that opportunity. A lot of people have sat right in these seats where we're sitting this morning. And they sit. And they hear God's word. The Bible has already told us, blessed is he that readeth these words, and he that hear it and obey it and keep it, that person is blessed. And they hear it, but they refuse to obey. You know, we serve a good God. God is good. And He's good all the time. And wherever we fall in the hands of a just God. But there's some blessing, brothers and sisters, for those that are in Christ. Isaiah predicted this, and I won't go through this, but Isaiah predicted this in the book of Isaiah. You can read this in the privacy of your home sometime. Isaiah chapter 26 and Isaiah chapter 27 predicted of this resurrection that is coming, when Jesus Christ will come for His wife, which is the church. That's who He's coming for. He's coming for His church one day. He's coming back. But He's coming for the church, and He expects the church to have a word in Gomer's clean. I want, in this book of Revelation, I'll close with these passages of Scripture here. The book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 7. 22 and verse 7. Notice what Jesus teaches here. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Jesus says he's come quickly. And the one that keep these sayings and obey it are blessed. Like I said earlier, if Jesus come quickly, don't let that devil fool you. That you're going to have time to disobey God and get right. A lot of times we as Christians will say, "Well, I disobey God today and I'll repent tomorrow." I haven't seen any scriptures on that. I haven't seen any scripture on that we could disobey God today and repent tomorrow. When the Bible has already taught us that today could be our last day. But these are the things that the old devil played tricks with our minds. You know, I tell a story sometime that Satan gathered his demons around him, and they're trying to figure out a way how to deceive people. And one of the devils says that, "Well, why don't we tell people that the Bible is not true?" And Satan said, "Well, that's not going to work. Because when a person studies the Word of God, they'll find out that God's word is true in their studying." And one of the old devils said, "Well, why don't we tell people that any church you go to is right, just as long as you're serving God?" One of the devils said, "Well, that's not going to work. Because they'll find out in the Bible where there's only one church when they're studying. So that's not going to work." And one of the old devils came up. "Said, I got an idea. Why don't we convince people that they got a long time to get right, and therefore they will never get right?" Satan said, "That's it. That one would work. If we can convince people that they have a long time to get right, they will never get right with God. That'll work." And that's what a lot of people believe today. They have a long time to get right. And therefore, they never make that concerted effort to get right with God. The lesson is yours this morning. And hopefully something was said from these passages of scriptures that will be helpful to us in the stirring up of our pure minds, which just calls us just to think as we journey through this life. The Bible teaches us that first, we must hear God's word, and we heard God's word this morning. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to hear God's word. Not just to hear anything, but hear God's word. And the Bible tells us when we hear it, we must believe it. In the book of St. John chapter 20 and verse 30, the Bible says, truly, many signs did Jesus did in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. There are many miracles and signs that Jesus performed that are not written in this book. And you hear some people say, well, you know, that's some missing books. The Bible has already recorded that. God knows that people will try to lean on that. There are some books missing or whatever in the Bible. But the Bible says that there's enough information in this Bible right here that will cause us to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He said, many are not written, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing, have life through his name. The Holy Spirit penned this in this Bible. After believing it, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3. Say, I'll tell you nay. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So once we hear God's word, once we believe God's word, we come to realize that what we've believed and what we've heard is not in the Bible. We have to repent of that. We have to make that change. Change our mind. And Luke said, if we don't, then we will burn. And after repenting, we must make the good confession. I remember early on as a Christian, we had sisters and brothers that will come to the worship service every Lord's Day. And they said, brothers and sisters, I've sinned. Asking for the prayers of the righteous. They would do this every Lord's Day. Brothers and sisters, I've sinned. Asking for the prayers of the righteous. Until somebody sat down with those Christians and he come to realize that they were living in sin. They weren't repenting. They were just reporting that they were sinning. Repenting is a change of heart. We have to stop. When we find out that we've been living contrary to God's word, we have to stop. Then make that good confession. In the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, say, if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The good confession is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the good confession. And after that confession, we are to be buried. As the Apostle Paul teaches us in the book of Romans, chapter 6, Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 27, 1 Peter, chapter 3, 20 and 21, says, sometime we're disobedient, once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing therein few, 8 souls were saved by water. God knows how he wants to save us. These souls were saved by water. You know what the Bible says about this? Even so, the like figure baptism does also now save us. You know what I was taught? I was taught that I was saved before I was baptized when I was practicing another religion. They told me that I was saved and I hadn't even been baptized. And I believed that for a long time. And I thank God today that God spared my life, that I was able to come and to understand what baptism really truly is. This is where we connect with the blood of Christ, is in this water. And if we have not had our sin washed away, then you're still living in sin. You've gone down as a dry devil and come up as a wet devil. If you don't know you've been baptized correctly and know that your sins are washed away. You have to know about baptism. This is important. Those eight souls were saved by water, and the Bible says it is the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to have our conscience clean. You know how you get your conscience clean? Is knowing that you have done what God say do. That's how you get your conscience clean. That slate has been wiped clean. And God looks at us as we have never sinned once our sins are washed away. Then when we stumble and we fall as Christians, we commit a sin that has been shameful to the church. We're to repent, confess, and ask for the prayers of the righteous that we might be reinstated to the fellowship of our sisters and brothers again. But when we sin, we don't have to wait till the first day of the week. We can ask God to give us at any time. It's just when we shame the body of Christ and people know it. We're to come back and ask for the righteous to forgive us of that sin. And even if we just need prayer this morning while we stand and sing the chosen selection, anyone that's subject to the gospel, the plan of salvation, may come.